Hey everyone, back again. It's about time that I've covered this topic because it's one of the most common questions I get about teaching Foucault, both online here and as an actual college course. And the question is, how can I understand or stand by Foucault's thought, given that he, among other French intellectuals, signed a letter in 1977 calling upon the French government to lower the age of consent. Now, right off the bat, I don't support it. Right off the bat, I think it's morally reprehensible at worst and morally questionable at best. However, many people mischaracterize what this letter was about. So what I want to do here, I'm going to explain the letter to you. I'm also, if you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be the first comment. I've translated it. You can read it and see exactly what it says, because many people use this letter, I think, not only to drum up already existing hatred towards French intellectuals, especially Foucault, but especially Foucault because he happened to be gay. That is, I always get this question related to Foucault. Never when I teach Simone de Beauvoir, never when I teach Sartre, never when I teach Deleuze, it's always Foucault. The only gay man of the bunch. Is this a coincidence? Now I say that, but I still think that this was wrong. Now I'm going to present the letter, and then I'm going to present why it's morally questionable and reprehensible. But also, I want to highlight why it is incredibly ironic and hypocritical, even in the context of Foucault's work. It seems to fly in the face of everything that Foucault writes about, and I'll explain exactly what I mean by that. But before jumping into it, hi, I'm David. I explain philosophical concepts and ideas and ways to make them accessible to you. So if you're new here, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Who knows, they might get a kick out of it. You can follow me on other platforms. Wouldn't that be so fun? If you found this as a podcast, there'll be the video on YouTube. And on YouTube, first comment will have the entire letter translated for you. You can go and check that out. If you found this as a YouTube video, you're going to be able to find it as just audio as a podcast if you want. Yeah, let's not delve into those things of online platform stuff. Let us get into this very controversial letter and much of the backlash that came as a result of it. Now, if you want a really good overview of some of the broader historical conditions at the time, check out the Living Philosophies episode on this. I think it does a really good job at contextualizing what was happening at the time that would motivate this. My issue with that approach is that in that podcast, like so many other efforts to talk about this letter, no one actually talks about what the letter actually says. They just contextualize it within the broader domain of postmodern neo-Marxism or something. And just as a side note, that's why you'll never hear me refer to postmodernists. I have no idea what that is. I study this stuff. I teach this stuff. And postmodernism doesn't exist to me, really. It's a term that's used to encapsulate a wide variety of thinkers. But whether or not there's actually some homogenous whole among them, I mean, I don't subscribe to that. In any case, the Living Philosophy, go check that out. It does a really great job at contextualizing this letter. Now, the other thing I want to highlight, please, I'm probably going to get shadow banned for this, given the subject matter. If you want, you know, to share, that would probably help, but, you know, do whatever you want. It's your life. Let's jump into the letter itself. So the letter was written by Gabriel Matzneff, which Matzneff is not a French name that I would know how to pronounce in French because I don't think it's French, but it might be. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. But it was a letter written by him after having written a more direct letter asking for a few men who were imprisoned for having had sex with a minor, asking that they be released. Interestingly, from this first letter in 1975, Foucault did not sign that. He only signed this letter, hence my focusing on this one, which I think is significant, but I'll leave that up to you as to whether or not it actually tells you anything about Foucault's character or his perspective here. Now, the letter focused on three primary things. The first issue that the letter raised was that French law in the 70s used too broad of an understanding about what a sex crime was. That is, they cite that within French law, anything, including harboring a child who is not your own, even to protect them from abuse, could be construed as a sex crime. That is, if you kept them in your house overnight, even if they consented and there was no sex involved, it could be a sex crime. So they were asking for that to be repealed or like taken out of the law. The second issue that they raised was that the law applied to both adults and minors. So even a minor who had sex with someone under the age of consent, so both of them, would be subject to these laws, which the letter was like, that's absurd. That makes absolutely no sense. Obviously, these laws are doing less to protect these children and more to police them. And the third issue was that these laws discriminated against gay people. And they discriminated against gay people because in France at the time, the age of consent for a gay person was 18 years old, whereas for a straight person, it was 15. So they say, clearly these laws are borrowed from legacies of homophobic hatred of gay people. Moreover, they highlight that legislation, the actual laws, described homosexual relationships as unnatural and immoral, which they were challenging in this letter. So right off the bat, there's a lot going on in this letter and what it is attacking, way more than calling for just the blanket reduction in the age of consent. Now, with that being said, again, it's very important to highlight that that was an element of this letter, but it does demand more context. Now, for the signatories and for Gabriel, who wrote the letter, these laws were problematic for many reasons. They did not account for a changing landscape where more and more people at a younger and younger age, even among themselves, not between adults and children, were having sex. It was coming right out of the 60s, you know, flower power, hippie, free love thing. And so they were calling for these laws to be changed and adapted to these changes so that two adolescents under the age of 15 couldn't be tried for a crime for having sex with one another. It would be absurd if that were the case. And that is exactly what they're calling attention to. They also took issue with the fact that these laws drew from antiquated ideas about modesty and nature, the idea that children are supposed to be pure. They were questioning what that purity necessarily meant, the idea that children must be modest. What did that mean? This was also used to justify prohibiting sexual acts among adolescents at the time, and to say that homosexual relationships were unnatural, and therefore gay people had less of an opportunity, had less of a right to consent to certain acts at a certain age than straight people. And they also took issue with the fact that these laws used age as the sole determining factor to determine one's ability to consent. Now, these laws are important. I think that there are laws in place to protect children from abuse. Absolutely. But the letter centers on a specific case. It revolves around a specific case where three men were accused in France in the early 70s of having sex with a minor or with minors, which in the letter, they painstakingly scream that the minors had consented. Now, of course, the issue at hand here is like whether or not consent is actually possible for someone of a young age, especially when we consider power imbalances. First irony here being that Foucault was the primary critic of power imbalances, of hierarchies, of the force of power. But in any case, within the letter, they argue that these men were imprisoned, or didn't argue, they just presented the fact that these men were imprisoned for 3.5 years before getting trial. And so the issue they raised was not that they were, you know, incorrectly incarcerated for this crime. The issue was that it was breaking the law for them to have been incarcerated before trial for more than 6 months, which was law at the time in France, and how their offense was deemed a criminal offense in France, even though, according to the letter writers, which is where I have issue with it, there was no victim because the children consented Again, the question is whether or not consent is actually possible when you consider these hierarchies. And I'll get into this more, but I really want to emphasize that I do not think so. And I think that consent is not possible when you have these power hierarchies, when you have adults and children, and the way that children are victimized by adults. So these laws do serve an important function, like full stop. Wow, is that so hard? But in any case, these men weren't receiving a fair trial. They were being held essentially against their will for 3.5 years, which is drastic, before they were actually given a trial, which is wrong. It goes against the idea of liberty in the French Constitution at the time. Like, yeah, that is something to protest. That is just unfair punishment for a crime that they were not actually convicted of, spending that much time in jail before trial. Like, yeah, that's a problem. Now here we arrive at their focus on consent itself, where they say that consent should supersede the law. That is, if a child consents to sex with an adult, then that should have more of a sway than the law. And I disagree. I firmly disagree with that. That is, and I think this will be more clear when I get into describing the hypocrisy of Foucault's having signed this letter, but I think that right off the bat that that's totally wrong. However, the one point that they make and the issue that they raise with this is that public officials and law enforcement and legislators just content themselves with these numbers, these ages, as being the sole determining factor to one's ability to give consent, which is a good thing. Again, I have to make it so clear what I think about this, just because, obviously. But their issue was that for legislators, for public officials, they often just use that, the age of consent, and they wipe their hands of it, and they're like, we have to do no more. And so they treat the issue as one of prohibition as opposed to education. So instead of treating sexuality as something that people should be educated about, so that children learn about consent, what are sexual acts that they can consent to? Not necessarily at that age, even later in life, but that they actually learn about sex. So for Foucault, within the history of sexuality, he calls attention to this to say that we live in a culture, that is in the West and in France at the time, that contents itself with just prohibiting sex and being like, people figure it out on their own. And this creates a situation, it creates an atmosphere where children are extremely susceptible because they have no knowledge about sex. It's treated as this taboo thing that they just aren't allowed to engage in. Again, the laws, though, are important, but they should be coupled with increasing knowledge about sexuality for children so that they actually understand what are appropriate sexual acts even later in life, so that they're actually able to tell what consent is and do it of their own volition, instead of it never being talked about and never actually being treated, just letting children learn about it on their own with like their televisions or however they learned at the time, and that being it. And public officials just being like, well, we have these laws in place, that'll do it, that's all we need. So they're calling attention to that, which I think there's some validity to, but again, the laws are important. They need to be coupled with actual care and attention to these power imbalances and to increasing education about consent for children. Like, that should be taught in every single school, I think. Now, one of the last things that they cover in this letter was that the age of consent actually went through many different changes. In the early 19th century, it was 11 years old. And then in the later 19th century, it was 13. And then only in 1945 did it become 15 years old. And so they're like, had these men done this exact same thing just 20 years earlier, it wouldn't have been a crime. Which I think is kind of a weak argument to make, because like, okay, we can still acknowledge that it's wrong, even if at one point we would have thought it was right. Like, I don't think that's how laws traditionally work. But in any case, it does reveal that this is a mutating, fluctuating thing. And so we should be having conversations about it and like what it necessarily means, while still respecting that we should have these laws. But what does it mean for the age of consent to be fluctuating and changing? What does it mean when a number just stands in for one's ability to consent, their age? And there is, I think, a lot of legitimacy behind interrogating our broader culture's idea that you just go from being a child one day to being an adult when you turn like 18. And that this is a way by which to deny children a political voice where they can't vote, for example. And this keeps them in a cycle of being like subordinate to adults. And it contributes to a culture of them being voiceless, of having less power than adults, which foments, it cultivates abuse. So all of these things are connected. So it's, we can have discussions about the arbitrary distinction between adulthood and childhood, while also putting in place laws that protect children from adults. Like, I think that we can do both things. Because there's also the phenomenon of grooming, which is super common, where adults engage in sexual acts with children until the minute they turn the right age. And is that really any better? Where as soon as they turn 18, then it's okay. Like, how is this, that can't be good either. And it should be interrogated and considered. People shouldn't just be like, oh, well, the age of consent, that's it. The end of discussion is fine. Like, that hardly seems fine. That we should interrogate that. We should question it. Another point they make is that if these laws were truly followed, then legislators who had permitted or expanded abortion access and contraceptive access to everyone under the age of 15, which they did in France at the time, would then be complicit because they are implying that people under the age of consent, which again was illegal for anyone who was under the age of consent, even if both parties were under the age of consent, these legislators should then be tried for being complicit in permitting, in facilitating this sexuality between these minors. And finally, they just really make the case that, like, we can't ignore the fact that there was homophobia enshrined within these laws, where gay people, gay adolescents, couldn't consent until they were 18, whereas straight ones could at the age of 15. So clearly, this demands us consider the ways in which these very laws don't always work to protect people, rather more to control them, while also acknowledging that there should be these laws. Da-da-da, it can be both. Now, I really think it's important to contextualize this in, you know, alongside Foucault's thought, because I find it just completely hypocritical for him to have taken this approach to opposing power. And that is because kind of his overall project is to say that power has been entirely distributed throughout the entire social body. That is, he opposes the idea that power is just held by those classic institutions like the military or the police. And he identifies the many ways in which power has seeped into every part of our lives, between parents and children, between teacher and student, between doctor and patient. And so it's totally absurd to me that he would then think that this can be legislated away, that you can just sign a letter and lower the age of consent, which wasn't the entire focus, but was a part of it here, lower the age of consent, and then you are somehow opposing power. That would be like using the master's tools to dismantle the master's house. That makes no sense. That just lends more power to the very institutions that he's criticizing, which I've always found to be totally hypocritical and ironic, not to mention morally questionable and reprehensible. Now, within the context of the history of sexuality, I find it even more confusing and difficult to grasp. And that is because, just to be really quick about it, within the history of sexuality, Foucault makes the case that our culture is one that obsesses over sex at the same time as it represses sexuality, kind of. That is, it relegates it to the shadows, at least certain kinds of sexuality, while always assuming it's going to be there, and that it's just this natural part of what it means to be human. And so therefore, it can be treated as this kind of sacred, mystical potential to liberate people, as though sex somehow possesses this capacity to emancipate everyone from the oppressive institutions of their lives. And he says that this is a trap, and that this actually complies with dominant ideas about sexuality and how they have already been absorbed by power. So instead, he's like, we have to be very careful about putting sexuality on this pedestal. And so in the context of this letter, it is so much more ironic, for at least I think, that he would be on board with this, because It treats sexuality as like this thing that needs to be rescued and saved and brought to light, expanded to more people, to more vulnerable people, like in the case of children, which just goes against his whole project, at least in the text. That he focuses on sexuality instead of something like the age of voting, for example, which I think is an important conversation we need to have, where we just treat children as these lifeless, unknowing, irresponsible entities, instead of like treating them like autonomous, intelligent beings that can have a political voice. Why doesn't he focus on that? Why does he exert his energy here, go so far as to treat sexuality as this roadmap by which to liberate children from the confines, from the grips of paternal, that is parental, authority? Like, it just seems to open the door for more control, for more power to be exercised over children. At least, I think so. But in any case, like, obviously this is an extremely contentious thing, and I hope I've made my perspective on it very clear. But in any case, I'd love to know what you have to say about it. I hope that I've been able to provide like some extra context so that you actually know that the substance of the letter is a lot more than just like trying to lower the age of consent. Like, I think that they raise some very important points and concerns that we should take very seriously, while also acknowledging that some of it is just like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, of course, we have to have laws protecting children, that is, with the age of consent. I think that's totally necessary. And it's surprising to me how many people have argued with me about it. And I'm like, what? Like, as though we can just poof, imagine as though we haven't been living in a world where adults have been oppressing children for centuries, for millennia, and we can just legislate that away and then boom, everything will be fine. Like, I that seems to be a fairy tale world, but you know, let me know what you think. If you like what I did, like, share, subscribe. I'd love to know any comments you have. Again, look at the first comment on YouTube. It'll be pinned there. You can read the whole thing that I translated. You know, it'll give you the necessary context. And yeah, on that note, take care.